You're listening to SBS News.
For more than three decades, males have accounted for virtually all workers employed as tradies, including in sectors like construction, manufacturing and automotive. That means female tradies still make up less than 3% of those workers. In an environment where skills shortages have become more acute, advocates say more recruitment and retention of female workers needs to be a focus. Jo Farrell is founder of not-for-profit Build Like a Girl and was awarded ACT Woman of the Year for her work championing young women to pursue a career in construction. I'm Katrina Stewart, and in this weekend one-on-one, I speak to Jo about what her organisation does to inspire women to pursue trades and the ongoing challenges confronting women and non-binary people in the industry. Jo, you founded a not-for-profit organisation called Build Like a Girl. Could you share with me what work your organisation does to champion women in the construction industry?
So since about 2018, partnered with Master Builders, Spark Employment, a few other different ones to sort of test pilot different pathway programs for women. And some of those are for school-aged women who are just sort of finish year 11 and 12. Some of those are actually to generate interest and participation from women who are leaving other sectors or might be returning to work now that their kids are older, or and quite a few in one of our programs in 2021, quite a few migrant women who were seeking work and looking to seek a trade. So, all different sort of programs in terms of where we involve ourselves, and lots of different things that we're doing to try and engage lots of different women and non-binary people in that space, to try and increase the diversity level, which hasn't changed in the past 28 years that I've been in construction. So, yeah.
Wow, I will definitely talk to you a bit about the numbers in a minute, but I guess what inspired you to develop this organisation?
It's mainly just lived experience and I sort of say to people it came about from rage and frustration, to be honest. I was, when I joined Kane in early 2020, generated a bit of buzz. You don't see a lot of women in leadership roles in construction, particularly in the size of construction companies that we have. And so there was a lot of people reaching out to me, over social media, so LinkedIn and Instagram and others, starting to tell me about their stories and their barriers and issues that they've faced. And it was like a tidal wave. And a lot of the things, particularly for young tradeswomen, who were, apprentices or maybe just qualified, just horror stories about behaviours and, certain culture and things are experiencing on site that I had experienced in the late 90s, early 2000s. At the time it was 2020, we're now in 2024. I get, a woman come forward to say this is happening to me on site. And so for me it was just the pure frustration and anger that women were still experiencing the things that I'd experienced almost three decades ago, which means that we have seriously entrenched cultural issues with how we view and value women and how we see women working on sites, particularly in those blue collar skilled roles. So that's how it came about, just anger.
You talk about the culture not changing much, even since the decades ago where you first started working in construction. Do you think you've noticed any positive change in the space, I guess, even since you've founded your not-for-profit?
I think from a recruitment and a pipeline, I think a lot of the engagement happening in schools now, a lot of the breaking down the stereotypes around the physicality and sort of all those generalist excuses about why women can't do this work has gone by the wayside. So we are seeing, and certainly I get inundated weekly with women, particularly young girls leaving school or wanting to start an apprenticeship during school, coming forward. So I think lots of great positive stories around that in terms of them wanting to participate, that the old, you're not strong enough, or, those really stereotypical and really quite debunked, sort of stereotypes are not there anymore. But really it's around retention. One of the issues that we have is we have a 72% dropout rate of first-year female apprentices nationally, and that's from the department, that's from DUA, so that's a federal statistic. So we're doing all this great work to invigorate women to start their apprenticeship. But in that first year, they have some pretty horrible experiences, or various sort of things influence it, and then we lose them again. So from a government investment perspective, it's not a great investment. So we need to sort of fix the other issues that are happening on the other side.
Yeah, what do you think are some of the things leading to that really significant drop-off rate for women? I know you've touched on ongoing sexism and stereotypes in the industry. Do you think that's one of the key kind of barriers that make women sort of reconsider the industry?
Some of it is simply the job is not what they expected, and sometimes there's some really great influencers on Instagram that make it look really lovely, and also there's the reality of what the job is, and it's very different from maybe working with your dad, and sort of being able to film yourself all day and everything that you're doing, as opposed to sort of working on a commercial construction site and being expected just to get in and do the work and stay off your phone. So there's parts of it that kind of, oh, it's not as glamorous as I maybe thought it was. And it's not, it's certainly not glamorous. The other part of it is around, we have had a lot of younger women come forward and say that they don't get the level of training that they should be getting. As an example, I had a young lady ring me saying, look, I'm a first year carpenter. There's another young man who's a first year carpenter, but I'm the one who goes off and has to get the lunches every day and clean the toilets, and he doesn't. And she said, is that normal? Should I say something, or is that just because I'm an apprentice, I have to put up with it? And I said, no, that's not normal if there's someone else exactly the same level as you who's not cleaning the toilets and getting the lunches. So, we all know when you start as an apprentice, you get some of the crappy jobs, but it's got to be equal. And that for him was, he said, I didn't actually realize. But what was happening was, while she was cleaning toilets and getting lunches, he was being shown how to hang doors and frame things and everything else. So she was missing out on that really vital training. It happens at a more insidious level, where sometimes employers use them as cheap labor, but they're there to be trained. And having an apprentice is an investment from the business, where they have to, invest time and money into that individual. And then you've got the harder stuff, which is the sexual harassment, and sexual assault. And we've seen a really negative uptick in reporting on that. Had a really bad run over the past few months, from late last year to early this year, with a number of younger women coming forward to me reporting incidences. And what I found was they didn't really understand what their rights and obligations were. They were really scared about talking about it. They thought they'd lose their job. There was a culture on site of, oh, it's just a misunderstanding, it's a miscommunication, it wasn't being taken seriously by supervisors and managers. And we had a serious sexual assault incident, which related in a trip to the police station to report that. And that young lady is still on workers' compensation at the moment. She won't return to work due to the trauma. So we've got a sliding scale of issues that start with, perhaps lack of education for employers and people, right down to some pretty insidious behavior that we really want to see removed from the industry in its entirety.
I guess just going back a bit, would you be comfortable sharing, I guess, some of those either more insidious or more outright experiences of sexism that you encountered, if it was decades ago or even in more recent times in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of press and lots of conversations around bathrooms on site, for example, right? And it becomes this really polarizing subject where, some people don't care and go, yep, male and female bathrooms, that should just be sort of a standard. From a practicality perspective, not everybody's going to have a full block of male and female toilets on a site, right? And there's a lot of reasons for that. But what we are trying to say is that, as a person on site, regardless of gender, is that you should be able to use facilities that are suitable for you, but also safe and clean. And as an example that's happened to me, and has happened recently to someone else, I used to have to use a male bathroom when I was working on sites in Sydney. I wasn't, one of the only females on a site of upwards of 200 people. I used to try and declare myself that I was walking into this bathroom. There'd be men at urinals and different things, and I'd use a cubicle, and I would have men looking at me through the crack in the door constantly. I would also have men making comments outside the door about all the things that they'd do to me when I came out. I had men that used to block me in the bathrooms that wouldn't let me leave. I had men that would expose themselves to me while they're at the urinal because they thought it was hilariously funny. That has happened to women recently. It's around the behaviour for people to be able to function in a workplace that is safe and respectful.
Sounds like that's clearly one key change that you think needs to be implemented. And just finally, are there any other really significant reforms you'd like to see in the industry, again, to make it a safer place for women and non-binary people interested in pursuing the trades?
At the moment, we're stuck in this sort of backwards and forwards about, oh, well, I haven't seen that happen, so I don't think it's that bad. You know, part of the problem, well, I guess, part of the whole process of dealing with a problem is acknowledging there's one in the first place. Our industry doesn't want to have that reckoning. They don't want to turn the lens inward and go, can't keep behaving like this. You know, if we want to see the change, we actually have to change the behavior. And we have to start being accountable. And I think, you know, where the legislation and policy reform comes in is 100% a zero tolerance policy. It's about open reporting, about transparency. And you shouldn't be winning work if you haven't got a safe site where women can come and fully participate day in, day out without being harassed or without having some form of different treatment. So that should be openly reported. And government, particularly on government contracts and with other developer contracts, that should be looked at. And those people should be seriously questioned about whether or not they should be allowed to continue in business. So there's been lots of reforms around quality in building and around other things that are being done, particularly, you know, building commissioner and so forth. But why aren't we turning the lens in terms of people? And why aren't we seeing that, you know, the culture and the issues that we have with culture and how we treat people differently, and particularly women, is affecting all of those other things that we keep talking about?
That was Jo Farrell, founder of not-for-profit Build Like a Girl.